Y'all know I don't like the beach, right? So we went to the beach. And a lot of you said, oh, go have a good time. And I kind of rolled my eyes at you. And I learned how to have fun at the beach. A golf cart. It changes everything. Because then when the kids are like, time to go, it's like, oh, I get to drive the golf cart. You know, so then you put everything on the golf cart, and now dad's not lugging it to the elevator to wait for 30 minutes to get on a stuffy elevator where it's 600 degrees with other smelly people. And then it just creaks and creaks, and it stops at every floor because kids mashed the button and ran off. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So we eliminated that, and I was really having a good time at the beach, even out in the ocean. But my son's old enough now to where when we get out of the ocean, he kind of wants to play in the sand, but he wants to go to the water park. So it was perfect. I barely got in the sand. I mean, a few times, but barely did I have to get in the sand. It was wonderful. Then we got a phone call sometime Tuesday evening and said, listen, I'm not going to give you very many details, but we want to allow you to stay an extra day. Don't worry about it. You just stay an extra day. We were blown away. And I was like, I really want to say no and come home. But my wife said, oh, let's do it. It'll be wonderful. So we stayed an extra day. So Wednesday night, we're down late, right? It's after supper time. And we're in the ocean. I'm in the ocean with Logan. He's learning to boogie board. And he'd gotten pretty good at it. He'd gotten pretty good to where I could get him on that wave and he could feel it pulling. Those of you that body surf a boogie board, y'all know, you feel it pulling you back. And then you got to get on top of that wave before it crashes. And boy, he could ride it all the way in by the third day we were there. And so in that time that it took him to come back out, I caught myself doing something very weird. I was enjoying being in the ocean. To the point where I did something I don't think I've ever done. I laid and floated to the best that a big guy can do. Don't laugh at that. That's not a joke. But I floated and the waves came and some of them crashed over top of me and some of them were gentle enough that I just rode it up. And I loved that moment. And in that moment, I started talking to God and I was like, God, I'm so excited about this new Bible study that we're starting called Five Marks of a Methodist on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. And God, I said, I can't wait to get back to church and start that sermon series. And as clear as anything I'd heard all that week, he said, don't. Don't start it yet. And here I am riding these waves and kind of having fun. And I'm like, God, you don't understand. I've already got it planned. I've already got it planned. And what do you mean don't do it yet? We're going to talk about things like loving God, rejoicing in God, giving thanks, praying constantly and loving others. Aren't those wonderful things to talk about? And in that moment, in the midst of the ocean, God put something in my heart as clear and as powerful as anything since I felt the call to ministry. I'll tell you what that is in a little bit. Romans 8, verse 31. That was part of the sermon, but I didn't want you to start your clocks. Romans 8, verse 31 through 39. If you're using one of our Bibles, that's page 919. If you're in your own Bible or on a trusty device, Romans 8, verses 31 through 39, the Apostle Paul writes, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's people? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present or things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, my Lord, my God, my rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. So, as I'm floating on those waves, and which is something I would never do because I don't like water to get near my ears, because then my ears start hurting. These words from this song called Drops in the Ocean, imagine that. Started playing it, and I don't even know the last time I heard this song, but it's by Hawk Nelson, and they're on the radio. They're kind of a contemporary, they are a contemporary group, but it says, if you want to know how far my love can go, just how deep, just how wide, if you want to see how much you mean to me, look at my hands, look at my side. If you could count the times, I'd say you are forgiven. It's more than the drops in the ocean. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? You know how many drops are in the ocean? I don't either, but it's a bunch. And so as I'm letting this song, I'm kind of singing this song, and these waves I'm just riding on these waves, and then I push Logan back to shore, and I just ride these waves, and I'm singing this song, and here's what God said. He took me back. I had one of those, what do you call it when you feel like you've been there before? Deja vu. Yeah, I never believed in that, and then it started happening to me. And so now I believe in it. I don't know what it is, but I had this deja vu moment that actually dated me back to my last season coaching baseball. And you can't see it because it's too small, but there's a picture of a group of young men bundled up with toboggans, jackets, sitting on the sand, and there's the ocean, and there's a sun coming up. They knew that was my last year, and they knew I was going into the ministry. And so the head coach said, why don't you do devotions all week with the boys? And then on Sunday morning, why don't we go down to the ocean, and as the sun comes up, why don't you preach? Why don't you just tell them about how much God loves them? And that picture still will stay on my phone. Because there's only a handful of those boys left that know me as coach. But in that moment, it was probably the proudest moment of my coaching career. As I stood there and I faced the boys and I started reading this passage from Romans. And I really just read parts of it and then got to 38 and 39. And I said, guys, you need to understand that even this ocean can't separate you from God's love. Some of them, that was the first time they'd ever been told that God loved them. And so while I'm floating in the ocean, I go back to that moment. And God said, Andrew, you can't talk about loving me. You can't talk about rejoicing in me. You can't talk about loving others or praying or doing any of those other things until you understand in your heart this point, I loved you first. And I love you way more than you'll ever know. And so I turned and I looked out at that ocean and I'm blown away by the size of this ocean. And the words that I shared with those boys in 2015 came back and pierced me in my heart that even this ocean can't separate me from God's love. If every drop of that ocean was one of my sins, it still couldn't separate me from God's love. Have you ever felt like God couldn't love you? Have you ever replayed in your mind some of the mistakes you've made? And you knew within a shadow of a doubt there's no way he could love you. There's no way he could forgive you. And then life goes up and down like those waves, doesn't it? Let you in on a little secret. When I started my first year as a teacher, I knew everything. Y'all know people like that? And I was going to change the world. I don't care if kids are cynical. I'm going to change the way education's done. And those kids are going to listen to me, and they're all going to pass, and they're all going to behave, and they're all going to graduate. By my third year, guess what I learned? Most of them were going to fail. A handful of them ended up in jail. And some of the other ones just dropped out and quit coming. But it didn't change how I approached what I did. We rode those waves. Ministry is the same way. You go into it, and I'm going to be the best. I'm going to preach, and they're going to listen. We're going to be, man, we're going to be that church they write a book about, that perfect church. And then you realize that it doesn't work that way. And then you go through these seasons, and the waves get a little bit rough. And you start asking God questions. And his response to me in those waves was, I love you. I just love you. And it doesn't matter. And so we are starting a new series. We're starting a series entitled Character. And so we're going to look, because the Bible study, Five Marks of a Methodist, is based off of the original document written by John Wesley in 1742 called The Character of a Methodist. But I want to remind you, because I know everybody here is not a Methodist, and that's fine. We're all going to be in heaven together. When John Wesley wrote The Character of a Methodist, what he was talking about was a group of people who were passionate about falling deeper in love with God and living holy. He wasn't talking about a church. He was talking about a revival. And so I didn't want to call the series Five Marks of a Methodist, because those five marks, those characteristics, are five characteristics of people who want to see revival in their lives. And so character is actually defined as the mental or moral qualities distinctive to an individual or distinctive in nature to a group of something. A characteristic, especially one that assists in the identification of a specific group. So we're going to talk about all those five things I told you about. But the cornerstone of that entire book, the cornerstone of that entire series has to be that God loves you. That God loves me. I want to read verses 38 and 39 to you again. For I am convinced, and again, if you ever get to the point in your life where you're struggling with your faith, and you know the answer's in here, but you don't know where to turn, start in Romans 8. It's a powerful chapter. Anyway, different sermon. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, church, the answer to the question, or the question this morning is, what can separate us? What can separate you from the love of God? And the answer is nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not death, because Christ died. It says not life, because he rose again, right? So as believers, we participate in his death, but then we get to participate in his resurrection. Angels or rulers, your translation might have said demons. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and it said earlier that he intercedes for us. You ever thought about that? That Christ talks. Okay, this is my translation, so forgive me. Save the email. I know this isn't in there, but it's almost like, hey, Dad, they're one of mine. Christ sits on the right hand of God and looks at his heavenly Father, and he says, that's my child. My blood covered them. I think it's cool that he intercedes for us. Maybe you don't, but if you don't want his intercession, I'll take it, because I could use extra. Not things present, nor things to come, nor any powers. You ever been through anything that you felt like separated you from God's love? You ever had somebody let you down, or something happened in your life, or you put your hope in that job, or that family member, or that friend, and next thing you know, instead of loving you, they broke your heart? and in turn you felt punished by God, Paul says that can't separate you from the love of God. So he keeps on and he's saying nothing, no height, no depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It sounds like Paul's saying just live however you want to, and he's not. So I'm going to give you a quick overview of the first eight chapters of Romans. Chapters 1 through 3, he focuses on our sinfulness and our need for a Savior. A verse that you've probably heard, and it's in a lot of tracts, Romans 3:23, all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. You've heard that one before, right? Romans 3 through 4 talks about being justified by God's grace and the blood of Jesus. Romans 5 through 7 then talks about the process of sanctification and becoming more like Christ. And then here in Romans 8, he talks about the assurance we have as believers that nothing can separate us from God's love because he didn't even spare his own son. There's a Spanish story of a father and a son who had become estranged. The son ran off and the father didn't even try to find him. And this went on for years. And finally the dad was getting up in age and he started looking for him and he couldn't find him. So he put an ad in the Madrid newspaper because he knew his son read the paper. And the ad read this, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you. Your father." On Saturday, 800 people whose either first name or middle name was Paco showed up hoping it was their dad. We all long for the forgiveness and the love of the Father, don't we? So today, our Heavenly Father, he meets us here, even in Welford, and he says, "All is forgiven. I love you." So how can we, as followers of Christ, how can we as a church, how can we that claim to be people of the tradition of Methodism, how can we love God? How can we rejoice in what God's done in our lives? How do we give him thanks? How do we pray? And how do we love others? We first have to realize how much he loves us. And we rest on that assurance every single day. But as I get up and I live my life and I try to become more like my Savior, even the days I fall so short I'm embarrassed to even speak of it, my Father in heaven forgives me and he loves me. Let's pray.